This episode of The Art of Rebounding with Lefty Williams is brought to you by Bly Thai and Soul Food in Woodland Hills, California. If you're like me, you want more than just good food. You want an experience. That's what Bly Thai delivers. From the moment you walk through the doors, the energy is modern, warm, and inviting. And the dishes? Fresh, flavorful, and designed to impress. Whether it's their creative small plates, perfect for sharing, or entrees so good you won't want to share it all. I know I won't. Bly Thai is perfect for a night out with friends, celebrating a special occasion, or simply unwinding after a long day. And it's easy to find. 20929 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, California. Check them out at blythai.com, spelled B-L-A-I-T-H-A-I. So the next time you're in the valley and want a place that really delivers, rebound to Bly Thai in Woodland Hills. Trust me, you'll want to go back again and again and again and again. And when you do, make sure you tell them that Lefty sent you. Now, parking, don't even worry about parking because they validate. How cool is that? Always remember, dare to drink. Welcome to The Art of Rebounding, where setbacks are setups and your bounce back is your breakthrough. I'm your host, Harold Lefty Williams, former pro athlete, motivator, and believer in second chances. Each week, we'll dive deep into stories and strategies built on positioning, persistence, and purpose to help you rebound, you rise, and reclaim your next chapter. This isn't just a podcast. It's your permission to rise again, and this time with purpose. Listen, I'm so excited about today's episode. I'm sitting here with my sister with I think she's one of the goats because just a super duper beautiful heart, and everything that she does is with excellence. She is I'm gonna read this, I don't want to get this wrong, okay? She is the LA Sparks ambassador, Cal State LA coach, NBA G League Elite, NBA Summer League coach, I mean fashion specialist, the woman of the arena.
Yeah.
Stand up. You know what I mean? Tell somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that to tell somebody to come on and tune in to this podcast. Introducing Sabrina White.
Yeah, thank you for that, brother.
So happy. I'm excited. Listen, we just gonna dive right into it. The art of rebounding is about positioning, it's about purpose, it's about persistence. And you can't be an athlete without understanding all of those principles. You know, right. You understand all those principles.
Right.
But people always look at the things that we've been able to do in our life to be successful, to put ourselves in positions that we've been able to do at a high level.
Yes.
And to be able to affect change with people who are trying to climb to the levels that we've been able to get to. But they don't understand the story behind that.
Yes.
So behind that mountain, tell us some of the steps you had to climb to be able to say, yeah, no, you know, this is what I do. Because they see you courtside.
Yeah.
But they don't know the work that you put in, you know, because you be flying courtside from head to toe, especially the footwear. Your foot game is serious.
Man, I had to do it today. I was going to come out here where were some hills, and, and I said, that just wouldn't be me, you know, dealing with my brother over here. He'd be like, you know, where the kicks, where the unrelease is at. So definitely want to step out today.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, my story starts at 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a coach. He coached football. And I knew that bug bit me early.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it wasn't going to be football. So my life was like looking and searching, like, what sport was it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just looking at TV, Channel 2, and Tennessee, the Vols are playing Rutgers. And I saw two women. I saw Dr. Vivian A. Stringer,
mm-hmm.
and I saw Pat Summitt. Coaching courtside in business suits. And I was just like, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, just the command of the arena and sold out crowds of watching women's basketball before. There was no WNBA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just to say that I wanted to do that, I just knew that those women meant business.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the courtside vision was women leadership in business for me through sports. And that was early at five. So that climb, that backward notion of figuring out, I didn't grow up with all the tutelage of all like the elite coaches.
Right.
I felt like that was answered in my prayers from God. Mm. Where I said I want to be the greatest coach of all time. And so God goes, okay, instead of just gifting you with this all this talent, I'm going to take you through every level. Mm. And you're going to figure this out. You're going to go through your trials and tribulations. You're going to learn angle in, angle out
mm-hmm.
to get the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's going to come off, you know, take a three on one side of the floor, the odds you're going to show is going to be coming off long on the other side.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with how I approach everything in my life and the opportunities. I can fast forward and we could talk about doing the NBA G League Elite Camp last summer. You couldn't tell a five-year-old young black girl from West Covina, California, that I was going to be on NBA TV leading a team in the NBA.
Wow.
There's no way you could have told me that. But it's been the steps of coaching a homeschool boys varsity team out the gate. And somebody entrusted me to say, you're going to lead us, and then winning a national championship there. And then coming back here and then going back to the girls' side, having a team out here in Orange County where girls were first-generation Hispanic kids that let me shape and mold them, and they trusted me, and they ran through a wall for me and to win three straight titles and to win 32 straight games in a row, and was really making a lot of noise out in Orange County, which propelled me to get to the college game, which prepared me for the Los Angeles Sparks to notice me and say, hey, you're what we've been looking for. You exemplify what the W was about and what the LA Sparks are about. And do We Are a Women's Campaign and be able to come into the WNBA was also crazy to that partnership with my sisters now, who I was able to train WNBA players more than just basketball, but how to eat right, how to get up, how to do all that, how to watch film. Do that full 360. It's just been a blessing.
So do you think that your process was definitely, like, looking back, because hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
Do you think looking back at it, you were like, I kind of made this step, and I knew that that would lead to that step, and that step would lead to that step? Or is it just kind of like, man, my steps were just ordered. It just kept happening and it kept happening.
I'm a very spiritual person.
Me too.
So for me, it was, they always say, if you just be quiet, you hear God whisper. So for me, it was always being by myself, kind of like listening to darkness or seeing something and God whispering, remember that. Didn't know why, but remember that. And then come back full circle to those people like, hey, you're such and such and such and such. You know, that's probably one of the coolest things. But those opportunities, like I said, when the phone rings and they call and tell you, can you get on a plane? Yes. There's a lot of people, when they get those opportunities, they get nervous and scared and they don't show up.
No, that's true.
You know,
let's take a minute and park there. So she said, there's a lot of people, there are a lot of these listeners and viewers, there are people who are afraid to make that next step, right? And they're afraid to get on that plane. They're afraid to do that relocation. They're afraid because they don't know what's on the other side of that door.
Yeah.
Right? But you'll never know if you don't open that door and go through it. I've missed 1,000 shots I've never taken. And so you'll never know until you get to that place where you're like, you know what? I think I can do this. I think I can overcome it. So I was in a situation where I was in this vet camp, then I was in that vet camp, then I was in the summer league with the Grizzlies, right? And so you go through all of these things, and I experienced delay after delay after delay. Now, I had to play in Japan. I had to play in Germany. I had to play in England. I bounced around. And then once the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters signed me, literally, it just branded me in like 100 countries. It just, and it just shot off. But I almost missed that opportunity too, because my mind was still focused on, I got to get back to the show. I got to get back to the league. I need to do this. I need to do that. And here's the thing. It don't always look like the way you set out for it to look.
Right.
Not always. You know, sometimes it looks a little bit different. And for you, that difference magnified you. Like, I watch how just how you handle people. I watched you, what game were we at? We were at the Dallas Wings game and the Sparks game. And I just watched just how pleasant you are with everybody. It's just such a beautiful soul and experience. And people need to understand that that is the way you get blessed, right? By treating people the way that you want to be treated and bouncing back. So who was it that put, you said your father was into football.
Yes.
Who was it that put a basketball in your hand?
Crazy story. My sister actually played basketball.
Okay.
And she was playing on her team. And one thing we do in our family is that we support each other. So we show up. She had a game. I was watching her game, standing on the sideline. And like I said, it was like God. The basketball rolled to my feet. And I never put it down. Like, from that day, it was just me and the basketball. And it was a Michael Jordan era. So, I mean, I think you know, like, we would watch Mike play, and then commercial break, I'm going outside trying to replicate everything that he did and just break that down. But like far as like somebody saying like, this is how you play, I did not have that. Mm. That was definitely like using my imagination. And like I said, we grew up in the greatest era of like Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, just the standards, the GOATs of the GOATs. So that whole breaking down his form, the first step, ball placement, that was my tutelage. So, but yeah, if it wasn't for my sister playing, I don't know how that would have correlated for us, like watching Pat Summitt to learning how to play in the nuances.
So I placed the ball in my sister Manisha's hand. Like she, I just was like, here, you know, this will help you because it helped me. Basketball saved my life. But you said something that's key that I want the listeners to hear and understand. That's imagination. And you have to have an imagination. And so if you look up the word dream, it's a series of images that take place involuntarily in the mind. And so when I think mine, I always say that all of life takes place in between your two ears. So when I think of mine, I think of mindset. And so this has to be right. Your mind has to be right in order to be able to imagine or dream up the world that you desire to see. Right. And for me, I wanted to travel the world because I never was able to travel the world. We were broke down, busted and disgusted. Right. First time I ever got on a plane, I was 18, leaving the, my first time on a plane, I was leaving the country, traveling to Amsterdam for a basketball tournament. Crazy. My senior year in high school. And so I want people to understand that you have to be able to dream and hold on to what little you have left. Oftentimes you think that it's over and it's not. It's actually just a check mark or you know, like a race. Okay, I did a lap, a few more laps to go. You just don't know how many laps that you have to go before your situation changes for you. And it and your situation kept evolving, evolving, evolving. Talk to us about you're coaching now at Cal State. How do you explain that open door?
Tumino Johnson, another one of those GOATs. I would say he's almost like the male version of me. He had great mentors. Of the game, John Wooden. Just the things that he's able to come, but our coaching paths are very, very similar. We kept seeing each other. Doing the international scouting things and really pretty much we were investing in our education and ourselves and our future and putting our money where our mouth was. And, you know, he would be coaching games at Palisades and I would make sure I would go and support him and just say hello. Like you said, like you see me walking around the arena, it's about relationships. And when you see people doing the work, I make sure that I let people know that I see them. Like, your hard work and what you're doing, you're actually doing the work. You're not just asking for a handout. And he was figuring things out. I was coaching at a different college at the time. And, you know, he was watching my journey, you know. And he was just like, you know, hey, you know, are you open to come over here at Cal State LA? And I was like, most definitely. You know, we both want to win a national championship for Los Angeles, for the people of Los Angeles. That's something that, that's our mission. And our team's looking pretty good this year. But,
okay. Talk your talk.
But coming to Cal State LA, man, to represent the people, we're the only college that says Los Angeles across our chests and our uniforms. That means so much. You know, when we're out there in the community, we're doing community service. We're seeing the people that are struggling. We see the people that are rising. And we're going to bridge in those gaps and giving our young women who are going to be the next leaders, you know, that platform to be like, hey, empower you guys. Like, you have a choice. You could be here or here, but you're in LA. You're in the best place in the world where we have all the resources. And if you have that hustle, you have that grind,
you'll make it.
Yeah, you'll make it.
You'll make it for sure. Yep. That's no lies told there. Do you feel like, with your journey, coaching the G League Elite in the summer, did you feel like you were able to look back through the rearview mirror and process how far you've come and said, I think I'm here?
Oh, never wasn't I'm here, but it was everything prepared me for that moment. Getting off that plane, plane was delayed, getting in. I was one of the only people coming from the West Coast, going back east, and knowing that my plane was getting in 3-4 o'clock in the morning. There's no Uber, there's no Lyft. Trying to get to the hotel. And just knowing the first day I was going to get there in front of all the NBA coaches as a female, there wasn't very many females a part of us. I had to come prepared. There's over 100 athletes doing the G League Elite Camp. I had to do the full, you know, player scouts. I had to know everybody a part of it. And then the first thing they say, okay, present what you have. Who are these players? Can you do this? And I'm the one person that had everything prepared and be able to do everything. And it was just an honor. Mm-hmm. It was an honor from the NBA coaches. Like, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, looking back at it, it was just like, yeah, like, all your hard work, like they said, wasn't for nothing. Like, you're prepared. You're at the highest level there. And it was definitely a blessing. And I definitely was calling my parents, calling all my former players, everybody who poured into me that was part of this journey. Like, what you're watching, yeah, it says Sabrina White, but everybody has a hand on it, and I'm bringing everybody with me with it.
No, that's good. That's good. Who was one person who you called and said, I just want to tell you thank you because I'm here. I think I'm gonna be here for a while.
My mom.
Okay. What was that conversation like?
My mom. Just starting out, like I said, girls didn't play sports. Mm-hmm. So for me to even play basketball, my godfather was the one that told my mom, was just like, hey, invest in this basketball camp because this is how she can play for college. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my mom, she supported me the whole way. You know, it took for her to get to that because it was kind of a different thing about this basketball thing that you're doing. But once she saw my love and passion for it, she's all 100% behind it. I'm like her twin. So, you know, to be there, and I was just like, hey, like, your baby, the baby that she dreamed of in her dreams, like, I'm here in the NBA, turn the TV on to NBA TV, and you can see me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Your top five, we have, like, your Avengers, the people who don't know how to fail, your Navy SEALs, the SEAL team, they're getting it done. Who's your top five, be it in sports, be it in life, that you'd say, yeah, I'm rolling with them on any day of the week?
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna put a blend of all of it.
Okay.
Of all I like of that. It. So these are the people I kind of look at, and I study them. Mm-hmm. And be like, whatever, they're excellent in what they do. Number one would be Oprah.
Okay.
Coming from
not a bad study, by the way.
Yeah, coming from Mississippi, her backstory. Mm-hmm. People looking at her as a woman saying, how dare you command or ask for this type of money? Mm-hmm. So she bought the building and created her own and continues to give back. So definitely Oprah would be number one. Number two, Barack Obama. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And, you know, he springs from Martin Luther King, but I would almost put them together. But Obama really, he really put that dream to the vision now, into our eyes, that 2020. He made it reality. He made you feel something. Mm-hmm. Three, Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, everybody thinks about the music. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks about the performance. I think about Michael Jackson, the businessman, who bought people's publishing and made sure he gave back to the black artists that their art was being stolen from. And became those guys were able to be able to feed their families. That's what I look. That's what I study for him, his business mindset.
His whole family is great. Shout out to the Jackson family. Yeah. I got a chance to get to know them about 4 years ago. Almost 5 years ago. Great, 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 great family. And I got an opportunity to tour the house in Havenhurst. And TJ, shout out to TJ, Tito's son, took me to the studio where Mike did Thriller.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Basketball-wise, women basketball-wise, they're a split for me.
Okay.
There's a split, too. One is Cheryl Miller.
Okay, yeah.
Cheryl Miller was everything to us growing up, being from Los Angeles.
She called.
Yeah, you know, just knowing the science. You know, she tore her ACL, and that's why she was able to play pro, you know, at an early age. Her legend ended there. But, yeah, just everything what she's done between being a player, being a coach, being a commentator, and doing it well on both sides. and just being giving still to the game on women's basketball, and still being present and still giving to the younger athletes. The other one is Lisa Leslie.
Yeah.
I don't think Lisa Leslie gets her respect. When you think about the WNBA, mm-hmm. and how you carry yourself with elegance, mm-hmm. branding, skill level, mm-hmm. Lisa needs a statue in front of Crypto. I've been saying it. Lawrence watching it. Lisa Leslie needs a statue in front of Crypto.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately. So those two for me are split.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about today's game? So you look at, so you and I were at the game.
Yeah.
And then we look around and the game is darn near sold out.
Yeah.
Everybody's on their feet. I watched the game go down to the wire and the Sparks went at, you know, almost darn near buzzer beater.
Yeah.
And then the rematch was just even more convincing. It was a bigger spread. But I look around and I see so many people in the seats. And you've watched it from where it was to where it is. What do you? How do you feel about that?
Great joy, great pride. Mm-hmm. You know, my passion is really, really growing this game, the women's basketball game, taking everything from what I'm learning from the NBA and you guys with the Holland Gold Charters, just everything across the board. And I cannot wait to the day that WNBA games are even better than NBA games, like all the way to the 300 level, you know, tickets being sold out, the skill level getting there. Remember, the women's body itself is evolving. I know. I don't think people really understand that. Like, women's basketball, far as women's body and movement, is probably about 200 BCs behind men in the evolution part. So, just seeing just how Paige Bueckers moves on the court. I mean, you're looking at like mini Kyrie. You know, it's like, okay, well, what will women's basketball look like in 20 years?
I wish my daughter would have played.
You know?
I wish she would have played.
Yeah.
I came home. They didn't even let me get a chance to get in the car. My wife picked me up from the airport. My daughter probably was like, she might have been three, maybe. My wife said, it's okay, baby. You can tell them. Tell me what? I don't want to play basketball anymore, Daddy. I said, oh, my gosh. No, she didn't. She didn't perform. You know, because she can shoot. At the time, she was shooting left-handed. Now she shoots. Now, she'll shoot around with me.
Okay.
Just to appease me. And then during the time, she'd go to basketball camps with me. But she's like, I'm done. I don't want to do it for real.
Yeah. You know? I can't wait. I can't wait to have kids and see what they're going to do on the court.
Yeah, Coach Steve Smith was at Oakwood. He was the athletic director there, and he called her the female Dennis Rodman. And yeah, just because she's just, like, physical and, you know. And I said, man, she'll run through a wall for you, you know. She just didn't want to play. She just don't, you know. And it's fine. She's in her own little lane. I don't want to force her to do it, but, boy, I wish she would have did it. Yeah. I wish she would have played. I'm telling you, she's good. So that's your five. Someone's listening and they're saying, I've watched and I see your journey and that sounds great for you. But for me, I don't have nobody to put that ball in my hands. For me, I don't have someone in the home, a father to say, well, here, this is where the direction we're going. I don't think I can make it. I don't think that I can do that. I don't think that I can keep going at the level that you're going to, or I'm on a job that I like, but I'm afraid to do what I'm called to do and follow my passion to be able to be at a level that a Sabrina White is. This is your camera right here. Look into that camera and just what would you say to that person?
The first thing that you would have to do, and it's the first omen if you ever read the book The Alchemist, is that you have to have courage. If you don't have courage, you can't take that first step. And that can be just saying, hello, my name is, or just a smile, or just simply just study what you're trying to do. But you can't be afraid. Like, if you have courage, that's your first step. And then when those opportunities come, have the courage again to keep stepping through the doors.
That's good. Listen, you heard that from the Sabrina White. I'm so excited about your future. I'm so excited about your now. It's very few people that you meet in your life that are genuine and that don't take the present time for granted. Mm-hmm. If you find three, the scripture says that you're a blessed person, right? Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to know you because I never take that for granted at all, period. It's hard to find genuine people who are genuine, don't want nothing for you, don't have ulterior motive, I believe I said that word right, and just genuinely, you can see the light is all over them. Like, they just going to do more and more special things.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about your future, 3,000,000,000%.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Is there anything you want the listeners or viewers to know?
I would just say, keep having a Courtside vision. Our motto at Courtside is follow through. So keep having the courage and follow through everything that you believe in and in your dreams.
Okay. One last thing. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. I know the answer to this question. Who do you have winning this season in the W?
For the W?
Yeah.
The Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah.
But I do know the Las Vegas Aces are coming.
You shocked me with that answer.
They're coming.
You stumped me. I did not think that was the answer. You think they're coming?
They're coming.
Really?
Asia Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, she's...
is coming.
She's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah, she's a problem. Yeah. No, she's a problem. Interesting. Okay, you stomped me. Okay. All right. So you don't think that... you don't think Indiana's got a chance?
No. And I love you, Indiana. I know some of my friends are with the Fever, so yeah. I love you guys in it. But just too many injuries, and you know this as a ball player. Health is a key part of this whole thing. Yep. So the two healthiest teams,
chemistry and health.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The two healthiest teams. That's what they can't pick the Liberty. They have they've had some injuries, mm-hmm. And they need to have time to get that chemistry up, like you're talking mm-hmm. about. So with the Aces being healthy and peaking at the right time. And the Lynx being fairly healthy throughout the year. That's why I have those two meeting in the finals.
Who do you have Paige getting
Yes.
rookie?
Yes. Unanimous.
Unanimous?
Unanimous.
You think?
Unanimous.
You think Paige, it'll be unanimous?
Beckers, unanimous. They're not going to probably, but.
Wow.
It's not even close.
Would that be the first time that someone's got unanimous rookie of the year in the W?
No, Candace Parker. Candace Parker was MVP and Rookie of the Year same year.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, that was just...
My goal, Candace Parker.
Yeah, that was just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Sorry, Candace.
Love you, Candace.
Yeah, that part. I appreciate you being on the show. It means so much to me. Give them your handle so everyone can follow you.
Yeah, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Female Fail Jack at Instagram. Also on TikTok and Snapchat. Or if you like the jacket, you can follow us at Courtside Vision on Instagram and go to the shop at CourtsideVision.com.
Definitely go check it out.
Get you some merch.
Get you some merch. This another jacket. I don't even think the jacket you had on is even out yet.
No. Nah. The
jacket, we were in a tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I got to get my daughter that jacket.
Yeah, it's legendary out here. It's iconic.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. Well, listen, I appreciate you for being on. Thank you so much. That's it for today's episode of Art of Rebounding. Remember, the fall isn't what defines you. It's how you rise that writes your legacy. Whether you're rebounding from a loss, recentering your purpose, or just learning how to stand again, know this. You're not alone. You were made for more. You were built to bounce back. Until next time, keep showing up. Keep positioning yourself. Keep pushing with purpose, because your rebound, it's not just coming. It's already in motion. Follow me on social media at LeftyWilliams42. I'm always down to hear about your comebacks. I want to hear about your breakthroughs. I want to hear about how you were able to position yourself for the bounce back. Remember, the same water that softens the potato hardens the egg. And it's about what's on the inside of you that makes the difference. You can bounce back from any force of impact. I promise you, I've done it. I've lived it. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt and the DVD. Got it. Always remember, dare to dream. This episode of The Art of Rebounding with Lefty Williams is brought to you by Bly Thai and Soul Food in Woodland Hills, California. If you're like me, you want more than just good food. You want an experience. That's what Bly Thai delivers. From the moment you walk through the doors, the energy is modern, warm, and inviting. And the dishes? Fresh, flavorful, and designed to impress. Whether it's their creative small plates, perfect for sharing, or entrees so good you won't want to share it all. I know I won't. Blai Thai is perfect for a night out with friends, celebrating a special occasion, or simply unwinding after a long day. And it's easy to find. 20929 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, California. Check them out at blaithai.com, spelled B-L-A-I-T-H-A-I. So the next time you're in the Valley and want a place that really delivers, rebound to Blai Thai in Woodland Hills. Trust me, you'll want to go back again and again and again and again. And when you do, make sure you tell them that Lefty sent you. Now, parking, don't even worry about parking because they validate. How cool is that? Always remember, dare to drink.